The top of the world seems like it should be the last place affected by climate change. But researchers found the Himalayas, the world's biggest mountains, are proving to be the most susceptible. The Wire spoke to global expert Dr. David Molden, the Director General of the International Centre for Integrated Mountain Development. Dr. Molden, thanks so much for your time.
All right, I might just start with the big million-dollar question. What sort of an impact is climate change having in the Himalayas?
I think people are already starting to feel some of the climate change impacts, some of that scientifically documented better than others. So, for example, the piece we hear about most often are the glaciers, right? We call the area the third pole because it's got more snow and ice than any other place on Earth except for the North Pole and the South Pole. So what we see across the Himalayan region are many glaciers are retreating or shrinking in size, with some exceptions, and exceptions in the Karakoram. But in addition to that, what we also see is temperatures rising faster at higher elevations. And that causes all kinds of, say, changes in agriculture practices or changes in ecosystems that does happen slowly, or, say, changes in pests that might otherwise get killed off by freezing. And then the other part that probably we know the least about, is significant, are the rainfall patterns, the monsoon patterns in the area. And there's some good data showing that we're getting more intense periods of rain and periods of droughts causing more flood cycles and drought cycles that do impact the whole water resource of the region. The water resources coming off the Himalayas serve about 1.3 billion people across Asia.
Okay, what sort of impacts did these changes have on all of those people?
Probably the most big immediate impact would be the floods, right? So we have recently floods in the Kosi River, floods in Pakistan. Now, that's not all attributable at all to climate change, right? There are a lot of other factors that go into the floods. But if we do get more intense period of rainfall, the risk of floods certainly increases. And that combined with increased population can really lead to some disasters. I think similarly with the glaciers, there's increased risk of what we call GLOFs, the glacier lake outburst floods. So as the glaciers retreat, they tend to leave behind a lake. And then the lake doesn't necessarily have a stable bund that if it gets too full can break. And this has happened, I think, over 50 times in recorded memory in the region. And it's likely to happen more often up in the high mountain areas.
Okay. There's not just floods. The Himalayas have also been experiencing periods of drought. Can you tell me about that as well?
Yeah, I think even in Nepal, this monsoon, people tell me, was delayed and there was less rainfall, so that crop yields will go down quite a bit. So there's a question of food security, you know, especially for those people dependent on rain-fed agriculture. But in addition to that, a lot of people have small-scale irrigation that's dependent on spring flows or small rivers. And what I hear across the Himalayan belt, and I don't really have the data about, is that springs are drying up right across the Himalayas that a lot of people use for irrigation as well. So the drought, of course, hits agriculture pretty hard.
It's not just challenges resulting from climate change. There are also some opportunities that are presented as well.
Yeah, I think in a way the melting glacier story, the flood story, has also raised awareness in the countries of the Himalayan region. ISIMOD, by the way, covers 8 different countries: Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, China, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. And we all know that with better regional cooperation, we can manage our resources, including water resources, better. But there, for national security reasons, some resistance to that. But what we notice with the people don't want floods, and they certainly want to know what's happening to our water supply up in the mountains. So we get, especially at a scientific level, more cooperation between the different countries. So that's one big opportunity. A second kind of opportunity is around migration. People tend to are migrating a lot out of the mountainous areas, especially the men, into cities and often to different countries outside the mountain area. But if people go to cities, wealthier people in cities also love mountain niche products, for example, herbal medicines or fruits and nuts. So we see opportunities for mountain people to provide special niche products, say, into wealthier cities that could provide an opportunity for mountain farmers. We also sense that if we could use remittances better, in a sense that promotes sustainable mountain development, we could score some wins there. So those are a few examples of change bringing about opportunities.